is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive, in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Jason Allen, and this is Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney.
Is Jesus in your wedding photos? While that might sound like a ridiculous question, in our last episode of Thrive, Brad shared that marriage was designed to be a picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church. For that to happen, Jesus has to be the main reference point in your marriage. Still, in our series on God's purpose for marriage, today on Thrive with Brad Bigney, we're picking up right where we left off by resuming our discussion on practical ways to implement this vision for marriage. I'm Jason Allen, and you are Brad Bigney.
Yeah, I'm excited to still be Brad Bigney, to the glory of God, I hope.
Brad, in wrapping up our previous episode, you told me that you had more to say about the practical implementation of God's vision for marriage, having Jesus at the center of it. So we're devoting the next couple of episodes to consider how couples can actually put into practice what God's word is prescribing for us with respect to marriage being a picture. Brad, is this particular topic of practical implementation one that you spend extended time on with those that you counsel at your church?
It is, in a sense that I spend some time on it. You know, like anything, when you're counseling, you don't want just tons of prep leading up. You want to give them help pretty quickly. But I learned to balance that with, if you don't give them enough foundational or broader background, they don't know how to implement the particulars you begin to say. And so that's what we started to dig into, how I've learned if you would back it up and stretch it out, what was happening right before the passage you're wanting to learn from and what continues to be said after the passage, oh, you can get insights that you don't want to miss. And so that's why this marriage passage is surrounded by some other critical information. I love to say to our church family and my counselees, when you're reading your Bible and trying to understand it, back it up and push it out and pay attention to what was leading up. And so Paul knew what he was about to say to husbands and wives. We're so familiar with it. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit and respect. You realize biblically that is radical. When you talk about a biblical, sacrificial, self-giving, lay down your life, what kind of love? Like Christ loved the church, you're not going to be able to do this. And what woman, after she gets to know a less than perfect man, wants to trust and respect and submit? And so Paul gives us some incredible, in a sense, hors d'oeuvres before you get to the main course. There's some hors d'oeuvres that we want to chew our way through.
Well, you mentioned backing it up and pushing it out. We're going to do just that. So you said in passing in our last episode that the first command that we're going to look at actually comes before the passage on marriage. Again, you briefly touched on this last time, but there's a lot more here. So Brad, tell us, be filled with the Spirit. How is implementing this command going to impact my relationship with my wife?
Yeah, I think when Paul began to speak about being filled with the Spirit in verse 18, he wanted that to be part of our thinking heading into verses 22 to 32 about husbands and wives. Because we go into marriage filled with, let's be honest, folks, a whole lot of us and not much of Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We say we follow Jesus. We say Jesus saved us, but we're still really full of us. And so the Christianity is the only religion that's not just a list of doctrinal boxes you check, but it is about a relationship with a person. And we all know that the more you spend time with someone, you become like them. And so he says, be filled with the Spirit. And the analogy he makes is he leads in by actually saying, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I think it's a word picture that he wanted to give us. Because even that, you know, if you grew up in the church, you think, I've heard that, be filled with the Spirit. I don't even know what that means. Well, here's what it means. Have you ever seen someone drunk? When someone's drunk, they are not their normal selves. They're either way more fun or they're way more mean, but they are different. You look at them and say, wow, that's not like so-and-so. And that's the point. Because when you get into marriage, you begin to find out some of the things God says do, I don't want to do it. And when I try to do it, it's hard to do. And if you're not careful, you start to say, oh, that's just not who I am. And he's like, sure, I know it's not who you are, but it's who you need to become with this. Because the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. These are one and the same. So you have the Spirit of the living, risen, resurrected Christ living in you. So the one that you're looking to, because last time we talked about everything is in relationship to Jesus, as, just as. You don't just look to him. He lives in you. And in a sense, being filled simply means who has more control of you? The one who has control of me is the one that fills me. And so we need someone besides just that husband and wife to be the one controlling what's going on.
We're going to just continue to take these as they come in Scripture. After be filled with the Spirit, we see be thankful in Ephesians 5:20.
Ah, same way, Jason. I mean, I think we save that word for November, 1 week in November each year. We all rally and think, let's not just overeat, but let's spend some time giving thanks. Folks, if you read your Bible, and I hope you do, you will see scattered all through the New Testament. It's just like a thread that's woven in and out of all the others. Do more of this, less of this, do more of this, more of that. Give thanks. And notice how that's worded. Not just be internally thankful. He goes in verse 20 and says, giving thanks. There's a difference between feeling it and expressing it. And you realize the person that expresses it is changed by expressing it. And your spouse is greatly impacted by hearing it. And so a grateful, because see, here's the other thing. Two things are at play. Your spouse, we all live like this as human beings. I need to know, am I hitting the mark? Am I okay? Is there anything that I do right? Here's what I think is so funny, Jason. Nobody needs to help us. Now, make sure you're not holding back. Tell your spouse what you don't care for. Right. Tell them when you see them doing something wrong. Point it out. We head into marriage and we become our spouse's biggest critic.
Yes.
We slide them under the microscope and we begin to tell them everything we see that we don't care for. And we don't realize, when is the last time you said, do you know what I appreciate about you? Thank you for being, or thank you for doing. Like right now, if you're listening and you're married, I don't care if you've been married 18 months, 18 years, or 48 years. When is the last time you looked at your spouse and said, do you know what I appreciate about you? When's the last time you voiced appreciation for something they do on a regular basis? It doesn't have to be out of the ordinary. Maybe you always make the coffee in the morning. Maybe you always take the dog out. Maybe, but instead of just letting it happen and saying, yeah, it's what they do, say, thank you. Thank you. Your spouse would blossom like a plant, a potted plant that just needed some water. Watch what gratitude being expressed will do. And so Paul knew that, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Never mind a personality test. Never mind the Enneagram test. Never mind a hobby shared together. Never mind some great vacations. Don't stop expressing gratitude. Giving thanks in your marriage.
Yeah, not only feeling it on the inside, being thankful, but giving voice to it, actually giving thanks. You know, you and I've had conversations and you've talked about how gratitude keeps pride from taking root in your heart. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That's the other key thing. I don't know whether you realize it, but let me just put it out there right now. And hopefully we'll have an episode where we dig into this all by itself more. Pride is the biggest destroyer of marriages. And you're like, what? Because it leads you to do any number of other things. But it's because we're so eaten up with pride that we assume my way is the right way, not your way. My thought's the best thought, not your thought. My desires trump your desires. What drives all that is pride. And so, and it doesn't work very well to just say, well, let's not be prideful. The Bible's all about put off, put on. Let me tell you, one of the biggest pride killers is gratitude. Cultivate gratitude and you will not be as proud. And here's what I mean, and here's why. A proud person is regularly thinking about what they're not getting, they think they deserve more of. So you think right now in your marriage, are you constantly thinking what you wish they would do for you they're not? What you wish they were better at that they're not? If you would cultivate gratitude, some of that would begin to die. Here's how I'd say it. Pride can't take root in the soil of gratitude. It just struggles to get root in the soil of gratitude because a grateful person is just so busy focusing on, oh God, thank you that I have a husband who, I usually have to be the one to do it. I'll say, does he play with the kids? Oh yes. Is he a hard worker? Oh yes. I'll rattle off three or four questions, but they're focused on one thing he's not good at and they're acting like he's an epic fail husband. Gratitude, and it'll kill pride.
Be filled with the Spirit. Give thanks. Those are the two we've covered so far. If you will stick with us through our break, we'll come back and talk about more of these ways that you can implement this life-changing, marriage-changing picture of Christ and the church. Stay tuned.
Hey, thank you for listening to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. And as you know, building a strong Christ-centered marriage is not always easy, but it is so worth it. Speaking of which, have you taken a listen and checked out Drive By Marriage? It is a game changer for couples looking to apply the gospel to their relationship. There's no cheesy 10 steps to a happier marriage here or anything like that. It's just solid biblical wisdom on how to love each other well, even when things get tough. And things will get tough, trust me. And you can check out Drive By Marriage. Also get the study guide available at FortisInstitute.org. And I also want to tell you about something even more exciting. That's becoming a Fortis Insider. That's right. Right. If you haven't heard me talking about that just yet, write this down and go do it the first opportunity that you get because it's totally free. It won't cost you anything. We will send you, if you share with us your email address, daily exclusive content right to your inbox. We release 7 pieces of content daily. I'm talking about new podcasts from the fellows, director's cuts from our fellows director, Jason. I'm talking about hot takes from the fellows. I'm talking about articles and so much more. All kinds of great stuff that will help you apply biblical wisdom to the issues that we're facing today, including marriage and family life. You'll also be the first in line to hear about our free webinars with the fellows. These guys are the real deal. Pastors, theologians, counselors, these men are committed to helping you stand firm in your faith, especially when it comes to building a godly home. Sign up to become a Fortis Insider right now at FortisInstitute.org. And listen, by engaging with us at Fortis Institute, you're joining a community that's dedicated to not compromising on God's truth. Even as culture shifts, we're expanding our mission to equip believers and strengthen churches with solid biblical content. And don't forget about the Fortis Plus app. It's loaded with hundreds of hours of audio and video teaching, and it's absolutely free. Head over to FortisInstitute.org right now, check out the Fortis Plus app, and sign up to become a Fortis Insider. And also, while you're there, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? All of this stuff that we're talking about, that we're delivering daily, free, it's because of the working commitment and the generosity of our gospel partners. If you're in a good place in your life and not strapped by any unmanaged debt right now, you're giving faithfully to your local church, and you're in a place where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you can find out more information to any questions you have at FortisInstitute.org. All right, well, now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're being so much like your father.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Jason Allen, and Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back to Thrive with Brad Bigney. If you were with us on the first part of today's episode, Brad was sharing how we could be filled with the Spirit and how we can give thanks and how giving thanks actually is a remedy for pride. It is a way to battle pride. Brad, the next one found in Ephesians 5:21, this one, I have a feeling it's going to infringe on our modern individualistic and autonomous sensibilities. So here it is, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Yeah. And even as you say that, Jason, I laugh because it really ought to be that often God's word infringes on what we would have thought. If you're shocked and surprised regularly by thinking, I don't understand that, that's not what I would have thought. If that isn't happening to you regularly, you're not reading your Bible right. Because Isaiah 55, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But oh, his ways are so good. They're counterintuitive to our flesh, but they are good. And so here is another one. And it really flows out of and is often rooted in, if you're not giving thanks and you're not killing pride, you will not want to lay down your rights, because a proud person just thinks about what they think they deserve. We live in a day of entitlement. And so we've got guys just focusing on what they think they deserve that their wife should be doing for them. And then women, sadly, who have just watched the wrong kind of movies and read the wrong kind of books. And you might have a good-hearted, solid Christian husband, but he is just not going to be that amazing, sweep you off your feet guy. And so you're just struggling because you have these sense of my rights. What are my rights? Everyone's clinging to their rights. Now, I do want to give an important caveat here, because we do also live in a day, Jason, of abuse. And so please know, at no point do I believe someone should submit to being abused. And believe it or not, folks, this goes both directions. It's a new day. The further we go down the path of towards the end times and the darker it gets, we see men and women both sinning. I mean, we know they're sinners, but we see them sinning in similar ways. So I'm facing men who are being physically abused by their wives. So just hear me. We're not advocating anyone should stay in that situation. What we're talking about is this internal sense of what you think you deserve with your list of expectations. We want you safe. We want you protected. You get help if that's being threatened. But beyond that, what we are talking about is a willingness to set aside. That's what I think is being captured when Paul says in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. When you both reverence God, fear him, worship him, look to him, say you follow him, then you're willing to set aside your personal agenda. Well, I just expected, and let me pick on one particular gender here for a moment, men. Because, yes, we're going to get to verse 22 where he's going to call by God's Spirit your wife to submit to you. But listen to me. I got to say, I step into situations where the wife and the kids have never seen him submit to anybody. He doesn't submit to anybody. They ought to watch you practice submission. Every human being is called to practice submission. They should see your submissive attitude towards church leaders, towards your boss, towards governing officials, so that then when you expect your wife to obey God and submit to you, you're a man who understands what it's like to be under submission. Have you ever worked for someone who's never done your job? How unpleasant it is. You can tell they don't know what this is like. God never intended for women to submit to a man who doesn't know what it's like to submit. Right. So guys, you should practice submitting in all the roles that God's called you to. And I would push it even further. I'm not the guy that wants to obliterate roles. He's called husbands to love and lead and wives to respect and submit. But by this submitting to one another, I want to make sure you understand there still should be times where you set aside your rights. I'm running into what I would call hyper headship, Christian men that think this role of I'm the head and she's supposed to submit means I get my way every time. I choose the restaurant. It's my vacation. If I decide we're going to move to Montana and live with no heat and air because I like hunting elk, we just do it. I don't care if there's a good school system. I don't care if she has friends. I don't care of the impact on the kids. That is wrong. And that's why verse 21 says, submitting to one another, you should draw your wife out and find out what would she prefer. You should know her so well to know what are her fears, what are her preferences. Because you want to lead well. To lead well, you have to know them well. To know them well, you have to be practicing, not always just doing what you want. So submitting to one another, laying aside your rights. That's why for about 10, 15 years now, Jason, my go-to marriage passage is not Ephesians 5. I do a foundation there, and then I soak them in Philippians 2, 3 to 5. That's actually become my favorite passage, even though it doesn't have the word marriage in it, but it would rock and change your home. Listen to it. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. We're back to pride. But in humility, count others, like your wife or your husband, more significant than yourself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interests, but the interests of others. And then if you say, are you crazy? Why would I do that? Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though is in the form of God, did not count equality to God a thing to be grasped, but empty. So he points to Christ and said, if Christ could set aside his, quote, rights and serve us, so can you and so should you. Oh, it'll change your marriage if you learn how to submit to each other and set aside your sense of rights and expectations or entitlement.
Brad, at the beginning of this point, you talked about you're seeing an uptick in both women and men living through abusive situations. So we do want to be sensitive to that. Wisdom for the man or woman who is trying to discern the line between, am I not just submitting to my spouse, or is this actually an abusive situation?
Yeah, this is a really good question, and it's actually a tough question to clearly define. But let me put some parameters in place. I love to say all the time, there's two ditches you can fall into. I think the word abuse is being used too often and slapped onto too many situations, because as soon as you hear that, it gets everyone's attention and it tends to cause everyone to decide, oh, well, then that person is a victim and they certainly are right in everything they're thinking. I think it's being used too often. Just not having a husband who talks a lot or is everything you wish is not abuse. So I just want to give that caution. But there is real abuse. So I try to clarify in counseling readily when I say, has he put his hands on you? Has he pushed you? Is he punching holes in the walls? Has he broken things? We want to get a clear understanding of what do we mean by abuse? And if it is a safety issue and it is physical abuse, here's the answer. Because then people say, well, what am I supposed to do? Especially for you women, God never meant for you to be in jeopardy and just feel vulnerable. God loves women created in the image of God. And so I say he gave you two recourses, your elders in your church and civil authorities. I hope you're plugged into a good church. If you're not, here's one good reason to be so. And I mean plugged in and submitted. You've joined. You're a member so that you can reach out to the elders and say, can we get your help? It's never supposed to be you're just trapped in a home and it's just you and your husband. He said, she said, he said, she said. And so you have your elders. And then it is not wrong. In fact, it is right. Romans 13 tells us that God, civil authorities are an extension of God in our world. They bear the sword to bring justice. And so I usually have to work really hard to convince a woman to do it, but call the authorities and report it. And I know they tend to say, well, now he's really going to be mad. Yeah, well, he might, but it needs to go on record and it needs to get investigated. And it's amazing how when I've been in these situations, when there's a restraining order in place, suddenly this man has the ability to control himself when in the past he couldn't. And so your elders and civil authorities, and yet I want to be careful that we don't lump everything in the category of abuse. It's not my preference often enough. That's abusive. You don't understand my past and all that I've lived through. It's abusive. I think it gets used too often, but I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is real abuse and it's happening too often, and God never intended that.
We cannot overemphasize to you, our listener, the importance of being in a local church. And so if you're not, that's the first step. Yoke yourself to a local church where you can have, as Brad said, these elders speaking into your lives, helping you, walking with you as you walk down this path of marriage and it being a picture of Christ in the church.
Jason, I love how you're talking about the local church. And I wish I didn't have to say this, but you need to join a local church that actually practices church discipline, values membership, and is willing to lean in and get involved. Too often I'm finding we've got churches that are just big places to go hear a sermon, sing some songs, and then they say, oh, we don't get into that. Well, you should get into that. So ask enough questions, go to the orientation class to know you're joining a local church that values membership, that practices church discipline, and will love you and step in and help you with real stuff that you might be struggling with.
Brad, you've shown us three commands from Scripture that we can implement into our marriage with the one that God has blessed us with. As marriage is a picture, you said it well, a billboard even, we would do well to ask the Lord to help us live out these commands in our home. God is so good to us and has shown us how we can live according to His purpose for marriage. He's laid out how we can treat our spouse in such a way that our marriage is the picture He intended it to be. This is all the proof we really need to believe. He doesn't just want our marriage and our home to survive. He wants it to thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.